We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, today our subject for discussion is works and salvation. There is no conflict between grace, faith, and works. The Apostle Paul affirmed in Ephesians 2:8 that we are saved by grace through faith. Two verses later he wrote, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." It is true that he said in verse 9, "Not of works that no man should glory." But the exclusion referred to the type of works that permit a man to boast of his own glory. God has ordained that good works, works of obedience, are essential to salvation. Paul mentions grace some 7 times in the Galatian epistle, yet he emphasizes the works of obedience. He wrote in Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love." A working faith is equated in the Bible with the spirit of obedience. As we have discussed, the Bible teaches that we're justified freely by the grace of God, Romans 3:24 and Ephesians 2. Yet the apostle in this same declaration stresses obedience. In Romans 1:5, he declared, "Through whom we receive grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith among all the nations for his name's sake." It should be observed that in the same passage in which he mentioned obedience of faith, he spoke of grace. According to this divine proclamation, there was no conflict between the grace of God and the obedience of faith, which is classified as works. In Romans 6:17-18, the great apostle wrote, "But thanks be to God, that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness." Now, let us observe, 1, they were obedient from the heart to the form of teaching which had been delivered to them. And in the second place, they were servants of righteousness. But righteousness is something we do. In keeping God's commandments, because these are the commandments of God which are righteousness, so declared in Psalms 119:172, righteousness is something we work. The Apostle Peter declared in Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him." John, the Apostle of Love, says righteousness is something we do. He wrote in 1 John 3:7, "He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Near the end of the Roman epistle, the apostle declared, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men." When grace and obedience are properly understood, there will be no conflict between the two. In fact, the grace of God demands an obedient response from man, which are works of righteousness. For man to think that he can respond to the grace of God by ignoring God's will is to cheapen God's grace. It is a resort of irresponsible grace. Grace is not an umbrella providing shade for the rebellious and disobedient. Grace saves the obedient. The Bible does not teach that it will save the disobedient, those who refuse to work the righteousness of God. My friends, are you listening? The works that have a part in our justification are made clear in the declaration made by James in chapter 2 and verse 24. The passage says, "Ye see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." As we have said, our subject, works and salvation, James, the inspired apostle, declared, and I repeat, and I say, are you listening? "Ye see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Could the pronouncement be plainer than that? Surely not. James says we are not justified by faith only. He affirms that we are justified by works. And yet the Apostle Paul declared that we are justified by faith that works. There is no conflict between Paul and James. James was speaking of the works that are included. When Paul was talking about works, he was speaking of those that are excluded. What are the works of exclusion and those of inclusion? In Galatians 5:19, Paul speaks of the works of the flesh. They include such things as fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, reveling, drunkenness, and etc. These are works of the flesh and are to be excluded. Paul said that those who practice such things cannot go to heaven. In verse 21 of the 5th chapter of Galatians, the Bible talks of the works of the devil. In 1 John 3:8, John declared that the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Surely no one thinks that one would be justified by doing the works of the devil. If such works could save, then Satan would never spend a moment in the Gehenna hell. In John 8:44, Jesus spoke of the Jews who did the lust of their father, the devil, which is the same thing as doing the works of Satan. Surely these are works that are to be excluded. Nobody can do them and be justified. In Romans 3:28, Paul says that we are not justified by the works of the law of Moses. Such works are excluded. The Bible teaches that one cannot be justified by the works of his own devising. If one should be able to work out his own system of salvation, his own system of righteousness, which would save him by its merits, then he could boast of earning his salvation, and it would not be by grace. It would then not be a matter of God's grace, but of his own merit. This is the very type of works Paul spoke of in Romans 4. It is the very type he spoke of in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 when he said, "Not of works, that no man should glory." Beloved, these are works that are to be excluded. But what about the works to be included? The type that Peter had in mind when he told the convicted hearers on the day of Pentecost, when he said, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Acts 2 and verse 40. Two verses earlier in this chapter, he told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Hence, the works of repentance and baptism are included. The working of God's righteousness is included. Peter declared in Acts 10:35, "But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable unto him." Furthermore, Paul included works when he declared, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Philippians 2, verse 12. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul informed the Corinthians that they were to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Summing it all up, all works are included which are necessary for us to become children of God. All works are necessary which are necessary for us to remain faithful children of God. The works of God, the works of obedience, are included. All other types of works are excluded. Beloved, if there is a conflict between faith and works, then faith itself is eliminated. The Bible teaches that faith is a work of God. The Bible teaches that faith is essential to salvation, yet it is a work of God. In John 6, 28-29, the Bible says, "They said therefore unto him, What must we do, that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." The inquirers on this occasion wanted to know something to do for the Lord, or of the Lord. They wanted to know something of Jesus. They desired information relative to something they were to do. The certain something they were to do is expressed under the works of God. They did not have in mind the works that God did, but the works he had outlined for them to do. They said, "What must we do that we may work the works of God?" Now, if there is absolutely nothing in the way of works that man must do, this would have been a golden opportunity for the Lord Jesus to have set the record straight once and for all. Jesus did not say, "There are no works for you to do. It is all accomplished the moment you believe that I am the Son of God." That is not what the Lord said, is it? The Lord said what he meant, and he meant what he said upon this occasion. Jesus said, "This is the work of God." Well, what is that work? He said, "It is to believe on him that sent you, or hath been sent. Believing a work, oh yes. Faith is a work, that's what Jesus said. Jesus classed it as a work of God. Now, this is not something God does for us. God does not do the believing for us. He does not perform the faith operation upon His heart and allow it to accrue to us as a credit to our account for God. We must do the believing. We must exercise faith. Jehovah provides the basis for our faith. He makes faith a reasonable, rational process. Abundant evidence is presented for man's consideration. The testimony that Jesus is the Christ is fixed on a very firm foundation. Yet, God expects us to do the believing when the evidence for deity of Christ has been examined. The truth about the matter is that God does not do for man what man can do for himself. The part of the redemptive plan that man is unable to perform, God performed with perfection and absolute precision. Man must do his part. God does not do the hearing for us. He provides what we are to hear, but we are to do the hearing. He does not do the believing for us. He provides the testimony for the exercise of our faith, but we must do our own believing. He does not do our repenting for us. He grants that it may be done. He provides various inducements toward the performance of this difficult command to repent. He does not do our confessing for us. He tells us about His only begotten Son, whom we are to confess before men, which is unto salvation. But we must do our own confession. He does not perform the act of being baptized for us. It is not the Father who goes down into the water and is immersed for us. We are those who are to be immersed. He does not do our Bible study. He does not do our praying. He does not do our soul winning. He does not do our church work, if you please. He does not add the Christian graces to our lives in diligence on our part. He does not do our work, worship, watching, waiting, praying. These are works obligatory upon man himself. Are these works of the Mosaic Law? Oh, no. Are these works devised by man's righteousness? No, indeed. Are these works that will enable a man to boast that he has earned or merited salvation for himself? My friends, certainly not. What type of works are they? They are the works of God, the Bible says. They are the works devised in the mind of the infinite God and demanded of all men of earth. The various commands we obey in becoming children of God are works of God. Yet when we do them, we are still saved by the grace of God. We, in no sense of the term, can earn our remission of sins when we hear the gospel, believe in Christ, repent of our sins, and confess faith in God's Son, and buried with Him by baptism into death, into relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In our worship as Christians, in song, sermon, prayer, praise, partaking of the Lord's Supper, contributions, we are not earning or meriting our own salvation. It is still a matter of God's grace. In our denial of worldly lust and every vestige of ungodliness, we are not meriting salvation. In our living a life of sobriety, righteousness, and godliness, we are not earning our salvation. It is still a matter of God's grace. But these are works that God demands of those who are to be His faithful children. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? I tell you, there is absolutely no conflict or disharmony between biblical faith and works, works of God. Many scriptures of the Bible affirm this proposition. Paul spoke of the law of faith in Romans 3:27. Yet he spoke of an obedient faith in chapter 1 and chapter 6 and 16 of the same epistle. An obedient faith is a faith that works. In Galatians 5:6, he wrote of the faith that works through love. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, he links work and faith along with laboring love and patient hope. In Ephesians 2:8, he spoke of their being saved by grace through faith. In the same context, he spoke of the good works which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. The inspiration of God gives a true picture of faith at work in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Did you know that the expression by faith or through faith occurs some 17 times in this chapter? Without exception and uniformly, in this great chapter on faith, that is contained a verb of action. By faith Abel offered. By faith Enoch walked with God. By faith Noah moved with fear and built the ark. By faith Abraham obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith Moses led Israel out of the Egyptian tyranny. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. By faith they compassed the city of Jericho some 13 times. Each by faith of this chapter is followed by a verb of action, a verb indicative of works which they did. In James chapter 2, this inspired writer said that works of obedience perfect faith. A faith that refuses to work or obey is a dead faith, a barren faith, a faith that is useless. Surely, my friends, biblical faith demands an obedient faith, a faith that works, does what God commands without question. Yes, salvation is by works, too.